Welcome to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. You will be able to find more Heartland sermons at hcc.ag or Heartland Christian Center YouTube channel. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. We hope you enjoy this week's message by our lead pastor, Dr. Phil Willingham.
Jesus is. Hey, look at somebody and say, Jesus is the one who wakes me up. Come on, tell them this. Come on. Yep. Some of you. Maybe need a little bit extra help today, but Jesus is in the house. You believe that? Come on. Just in case you go to sleep, I've got bread here. I will throw it at you today. This has got very hard. So I'm thinking, what a day to have a great mess. You know, all this month we've been doing, started a series last week, Pastor Matt did, about Jesus is. And I love some of the answers that our people were given. You know, we think about that Jesus is, you know, he's a prophet, he's a son of God, he's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he's a made-up fabrication of Christians. Some people think that, you understand that. We're getting ready for Easter. Easter just a couple of weeks away, and we're going to have a great time on Easter as we look about what you see is not what you get. How many understand there was a lot of surprises at Easter over 2,000 years ago? Come on. They thought they had him. Come on, they thought Jesus was done. But boy, he shows up in the power of his resurrection. This morning, I want to talk to you about, out of John chapter 6, if you got Bibles there, and North Judson, Wanatall campus, and over in Hebron, there's some sermon notes on the back of that little QR code you can download. There's some in the back. But I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus is the bread. I am the bread. Now, I read about a guy who moved into a city, and he went to a restaurant to eat, and the waitress was very nice. She was very kind. She's serving him, but she only gave him one piece of bread, and he constantly complained about. He loved bread. He wanted more bread, so she eventually brought him another loaf or two, another piece or two, but he just kept complaining. Next day, he goes in there for lunch. She sees him coming in. She deliberately goes and gets four pieces, slices of bread, puts it, you know, on his table, thinking, okay, now he's going to. And he still complained. He said, I know you did better. He said, but I love bread. Next day, he shows up. She takes him a whole basket of bread. She's thinking, surely, now he's got a basket. He still complained. I love bread. You didn't give me enough bread. Finally, the manager, seeing what was happening, so he said, listen, next time he comes in, we're going to get him. So what happened was, the very next day, the manager had made a 6-foot-long, 3-foot-wide loaf of bread. Guy comes in. It takes four of them to take it to his table, puts it on his table. Manager sits back, crosses his arm. Waitress is there. They're all smiling real, real big. And the guy looks up and says, so, we're back at one piece of bread. Some people are never satisfied. You understand that? Jesus is going to show us this morning. You know, matter of fact, I did a little research. Americans, we eat 34 million loaves of bread every day. That's not to mention rolls and bagels and croissants and donuts. How many had a donut today? Bread is a major staple of food in every nation. Every nation has bread as a staple food that is there. Matter of fact, a family of four can live for 10 years on bread produced only on 1 acre of wheat in one growing season. I need to raise some wheat now. I found that out. And bread is actually as a currency one time. You know, that's the reason why people will often refer to money as being what? Bread. I need some more bread. Matter of fact, it was another interesting fact about bread. In the 13th century in England, bread was a vital source of the British, but the bakers totally controlled the bread supply. And in those days, breads were sold by the dozen, and you'd get a basket of bread, a dozen pieces of bread. And what happened was, some of the bakers started cheating their customers and started cutting down and scrimping on the flour, and they started selling smaller loaves. And people started complaining about it. King Henry III caught wind of it, and he instituted a law punishing bakers, putting them, giving them beatings or putting them in jail if they were caught cheating. Some bakers were so concerned that somebody might turn them in for not giving them the adequate amount of bread. So they, instead of giving 12 for a dozen, they added one more, 13. Thus we have the baker's dozen. Let's all go home right now. We've learned about bread, right? Come on. So bread is a very interesting thing. This morning, we're going to look at John chapter 6. We're going to discover that back in Jesus' day, bread was also very important. I mean, it took a better part of the day for people to grind the wheat and put enough wood in the fireplace to bake the bread. So bread was very labor-intense product in that day. It took a lot of effort. And just a few days prior to John chapter 6, where we're going to read a few verses in a minute, we read about a large crowd of people that had gathered, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, so probably close to 15,000 people. And Jesus had took 5 small loaves and 2 fishes. He blessed it, and he fed the entire multitude, and there are 12 baskets left over. And the people were very impressed with what was happening. They were very moved by this miracle. But Jesus just up and disappears. They don't know where he went. They start looking for him. The disciples get in the boat. They go out. Jesus comes walking on the sea, calms the storm. Later, there's a bunch of other boats that show up. It's kind of like Uber boats back in that day. They got Uber boats, and they went to where Jesus was looking for Jesus. They wanted to find where he was at. And the crowd was so upset that Jesus wasn't there to give them more bread, they tried to shame him. They tried to embarrass Jesus. Can you imagine trying to embarrass Jesus? Trying to embarrass Jesus. So what's this? Here's where we're going to pick up the story in John chapter 6, verse 30. The Bible said, this is what the people said, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the mammon in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So, in other words, the people said, hey, Jesus, just to give you a little bit of history lesson, Moses supplied mammon for the people every day, and you just did it once, so we want you to give us another miracle, okay? So Jesus picks up, and he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And what's this? The crowd wants more bread, but instead, Jesus is not only not going to give them more bread, he's going to turn it into a teaching situation. He said, I am the bread of life. And what's this? What caught my attention when you read that story, Jesus didn't say, I'm the giver of bread. He didn't say, I'm the maker of bread. He said, I am the bread. And the problem was, here's the problem. Here's kind of get the cereal. The problem is that the crowd of people, they come looking for Jesus because he had given them what they had wanted before. They wanted bread, but they didn't necessarily want Jesus. I want you to put your thinking caps on me this morning and think about what does our culture do today when it comes to Christ. This crowd of people, they come to Jesus. They wanted bread, but they didn't necessarily want Jesus. And Jesus is so wise. Listen, he knows our hearts so many times. He knows that we have a tendency sometimes to just want to use God for another meal ticket. Hello? Years ago, let me illustrate like this. Years ago, when I would travel some and do revivals, Rhonda would stay back with the kids. In every city I went into, I would buy wind chimes. And Rhonda loved wind chimes, and I would find her a different color, different style, different size. and I would bring her with, and she really enjoyed. But I got to noticing, she enjoyed the wind chime so much, she had the tendency to start asking me, when are you going to go on another trip? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, when's your next revival? I said, well, I think I've got something planned. In. Well, she said, I said, well, why are you asking? She said, well, I just kind of wonder, would you kind of look for this? And she showed me a picture. Would you kind of look for this wind chime? And I got to think, wait a minute. I had a feeling that she wanted the wind chimes more than she wanted me. Now think about this for just a few minutes. When you look closely at this text, you see that Jesus is revealing the heart of this crowd. He reveals not just the heart of the crowd. I think it's the heart of our culture that we're trying to navigate in right now. So there's three things. Number one, write this down. They forgot that God is the source of all that is good in life. Listen, when they found Jesus and they wanted just another meal, they tried to use the Old Testament. Can you imagine trying to use the Old Testament on somebody who was there? They tried to use the Old Testament. They tried to brag that Moses had given the children of Israel, Hebrew, had given them bread from heaven. But Jesus corrected them and said, wait a minute. The source of the bread was God. It wasn't Moses. But the hungry people had forgotten the foundational truth. Listen, that all that we have flows from Him. Now we have a tendency sometimes when we look at our full cupboards and we look at our full closets and we look at our full garages, we look at our full bank account, we have a tendency sometimes to say, oh, wow, look what I've got. Look what all I have. And we have a tendency to forget, where did that really come from? You see, everything flows from God. James put it like this, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow, nor turning. See, we have to never forget of letting sometimes our hunger for stuff to blind us from the basic fact that all the blessings that we have, they truly come from God. See, anytime I meet somebody that they struggle tithing, you know, tithing this giving to God thing, this 10% and, you know, honoring God and all. Anytime I meet somebody who struggled with tithing, I immediately know you don't understand where your blessing comes from. Oh, I work for my money only because God gives you the ability to do that. You see, listen, I'm going to preach if you'll help me just a little bit. See, none of us would have our next breath if God didn't give it to us. There's nothing we can do of ourselves. It all flows down from our Heavenly Father. And when we understand that, we appreciate the gift. But here was the people that they totally forgot where mammon really come from. And I pray for this church. I pray for you as a young couple. I pray for you as a middle-aged couple. You're working hard. You've got kids in school. I understand all that. But listen, we must never forget everything we have comes down from the Father. All it would take is one health issue for some of us to be in trouble financially if you couldn't work those 80 hours. All it would take is one cut. Of the company to make some cuts, and all of a sudden we'd find ourselves in a total crisis. I'm just simply saying, God, open our eyes to the fact, help us to understand, like these people failed to understand, that everything they have, everything their forefathers had all happened because of the blessing of the Lord. People never could understand how my mom and dad. Mom will be 90 years old here in just a few weeks now. My dad's been graduated to heaven now for about 6 years. My people never could understand how mom and dad raised six kids, pastored little small churches. Dad would give mission offerings. He would steward. He would build churches. He would remodel. That nobody ever could understand how in the world they did what they did. And dad was always quick to tell them, every time I shovel anything to God, he shovels back to more. And guess what? God shovels bigger than my shovel. Well, good preaching, Pastor Phil. I'm not going to take another offering. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Some of you need to look at that checkbook and you look at your calendar and say, hey, listen, everything I have is because of the blessing of God. It all comes down from Him. Here's the second thing. This group of people, they falsely believed that powerful miracles would somehow or another satisfy their hunger. They believed that somehow or another, if Jesus would just do another miracle, that somehow or another, they would be satisfied, only to understand the fact that human nature is, listen, miracles tend to have most people wanting more miracles. When God does one thing, you want something else for God. Now listen, isn't our tendency, it's like being at the 4th of July celebration, you know, the fireworks going off, and you see this big explosion. No sooner does that big explosion, you know, go away, dissipate, and you say, what's coming next? What's next? What do you want? You want something more. You want something bigger. This is exactly what was happening here. Listen, Jesus had just fed 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the very next day, these same hungry people show up, and what they said, hey, they're saying, hey, Jesus, we want another sign. What sign are you going to give us that we might believe? Well, I just did something. That didn't change you. I just did a miracle. And some of you are still not believing that I'm who I say that I am. Well, when you study the scriptures, Jesus usually did miracles for one or two reasons. One was always the compassion for the hurting person. The Bible said he's moved with our afflictions. He's moved with our hurt. Listen, we have a compassionate God. You understand that? Don't ever forget that. I'm not saying God doesn't do that. But listen, Jesus would do a miracle because he was either moved by compassion for that individual, for that person, he saw their faith, or he did a miracle. So it was a teaching principle. It was a teaching moment. And when it comes to these Galileans and these crowd that's here, apparently they're missing the message that Jesus is trying to convey to them. Instead of them was trying to apply his teaching to their own lives, they just simply come to Jesus and say, hey, listen, we want more of your power. We want more of your miracles. So why didn't Jesus just do what they asked? Well, how come he just didn't perform another miracle? Because maybe if they see one more miracle, man, they'll be convinced. I hear people do that all the time. Oh, Pastor Phil, I tell you what, if we just had miracles in our church today, it would open blinded eyes. If we just see miracles, man, people would come from all over. They might come for the bread. When we traveled, I was amazed of my father-in-law. He's graduated, hopefully to heaven. But he had tremendous faith for miracles. I've seen him pray for eyes that was blind, and people would testify to healing and go get doctor's reports. Heart conditions, pray, and people get healed. Just amazing miracles we saw. And we set up these tent revivals, and a lot of times we might move, you know, maybe 2 hours to the south or to the east. To the north. We might be in, for instance, we was in Talladega for 10 weeks one time for a revival. Talladega, we're Talladega 500, 10 weeks. Then we moved to Lincoln. Lincoln's only probably an hour from Talladega. And a lot of these same people that was at Talladega that would show up wanting God to do miracles, guess what? They would follow the cookie crumbs to the next tent revival. And I got to notice it as a young kid. A lot of these people following these miracles, but yet their life wasn't being changed. They were seeing great things. God was doing through his compassion. God was doing miraculous miracles, and yet they kept behaving the same way. You know what I discovered in my life and seeing that? If miracles would convince people to come to Christ, listen, there should be no reason why anybody should not be a believer today. For the greatest miracle happened over 2,000 years ago when he got up out of the grave being as dead as he was. He was dead, folks, and he got up. But there's still people that don't believe. You understand that? And listen, I think Jesus knew that these guys was too focused on the gift rather than the giver of the gift. They had just witnessed one of the greatest powers of Jesus, and yet seeing a miracle the first time didn't lead them to believe who he was and who he said he was. So I think Jesus knew it's doubtful that seeing another miracle is going to do that. He knew miracles. Listen, Jesus knew miracles attracted crowds, but rarely do miracles encourage repentance. Miracles don't satisfy our hunger for God oftentimes or satisfy the need for personal relationship. So what's this? Here's what Jesus does during this whole thing. Listen, what Jesus does is he exposes their need. That's what has to happen to us. Listen, he showed them that their perceived need wasn't their actual need. They thought they were hungry. Jesus said, you're not hungry, you're hungry. Okay? You don't need physical bread. You need bread from heaven. He exposes their need. He showed them that their perceived need is not their actual need. And I ask the Holy Spirit to do that for us. So many times we think our need is to do better. We think our need is just to go to church. We think our need is somehow or another to serve in the nursery. No, our need is to have bread from heaven. Our need is to get a relationship with him. And out of that relationship flows the fact that we want to serve and use our gifts. Good preaching, Pastor Phil. He not only exposed their need, he exposed their motivation. They wasn't there to see Jesus. You know what they were there? For the benefits. Show me the miracle. Give me the benefit of following Jesus, Pastor Phil. Man, you give me some benefits. You let me see the end result of what it is. Listen, and what Jesus says, he not only exposes their need or the motivation, he exposes their allegiance. Jesus said, listen, guys, you got to understand, I'm the only bread that will break for you. Every other bread in this world is going to break you. You ever notice how people, when they try to eat every other bread in this world, all it does, if I can just get this, if I can have this, if I can go after this, and this drug, and this alcohol, and this promotion, and this, every other bread breaks us. Jesus is the only bread that breaks for us. And he shows them that. He says, guys, listen, your eyes have got to be open to this. By understanding the fact of what was happening, they needed more than just a powerful miracle. They need to understand that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, you can't do anything without me. You know how it reveals people who don't understand he's the true bread? And they focus more on the gifts rather than the giver of the gifts, is that you let some of those gifts disappear from some people. You let the car go. You let the home go. You let the friendship go, the relationship go, the marriage go. You let the health go. Listen, have you ever noticed how some people, when they get unhealthy or they have physical needs in their life, how spiritual they become? How how loving they become, how caring they become. And then God works a miracle and God heals their life and God fixes their problem and God heals their relationship and God gives them a job. You know, listen, I couldn't tell you how many times I've had people come to this altar and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I need a better job. I need to make more money. Why do you want to make more? Oh, I want to give to God. God gives them a better job. They disappear. They're gone. They're out of here. Oftentimes, people with health issues. Now, listen, I'm going to play. Stay with me. Don't get mad at me. I promise you, I'll take you. This is ain't going to end up good. But we got to be honest because Jesus is trying to get this crowd just to face up with reality. He said, listen, guys, you got to understand that the giver of the gift has to come way more important than the gift itself. And if I don't have my health, if I don't have the job, if I didn't get the promotion, if my kids are still not doing right, regardless of any of that stuff, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep praising the Lord. I'm going to stay focused on Him. I'm going to keep eating the bread that comes down from heaven because that's where my hope is. I've been so broken when I see people, when they lose stuff, they lose their faith. They drop God because they lost the job or they lost the car or they lost this. God, help us not to be that way. Help us not to be focused on the gift so that we forget about the giver of the gift. And listen, the best way I know how to protect myself from any of those attitudes is, listen, every day I have to remind myself I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve to be preaching to a great church like Heartland. I don't deserve to have a nice home. I don't deserve to ride a nice Harley. I don't deserve to have a good truck. I don't deserve any of that. It's all a gift from God. But I've served Him and I've loved Him and I've walked with Him when I was driving a Ford Elko, Ford van, 250, Ford F-250 van. Nothing in the back, but Ron and I went to a yard sale and got us a love seat that Sunshine used to sleep on. Had two bucket seats, two gas tanks, because you got 5 miles a gallon. This is in 75 and 76. But I'm telling you the truth. God knows my heart. I loved Him just as much when I was driving that old Ford van as I love Him when I'm driving my GMC pickup truck. I loved Him as much when I rode my first 125 Suzuki. Rode it to the hospital. 125, folks. Most of the groups wouldn't even let me in their group. It was so small. I'd put it on. I looked like Dumber and Dumber. So, you know, just by myself, put on my helmet. But you ask my wife, I would come home, I was as proud as all get out as I was at 125. Somebody gave that to me because they said, Pastor, you're spending way too much money on gas trying to visit the hospitals and stuff. Said, here, let me give you a motorcycle. I said, sure. Didn't tell me what it was till it showed up, but I loved it. I loved it just as much as I love the Harley that I ride today. That is a very nice bike. And what Jesus is trying to get the people to understand, and what you and I, listen, we don't deserve any of this stuff. We listen, everything we have comes from God. It flows from Him. They're all gifts. And we have to recognize we can lose them in a heartbeat, but it shouldn't matter to us. And then finally, Jesus says, listen, we have to focus on Jesus being the bread of life. Listen, with Him, we can receive bread and other gifts, but without Him, listen, nothing else matters. And that's what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. Listen, if you have the real bread, you have everything else. If you have everything else and don't have the real bread, you have nothing. If you're not eating and you're not digesting me, if you don't understand, it's all wrapped up in who I am. The Father sent me down. I am here. I'm representing Him. If you don't understand that, I don't care how many miracles you get over here, you'll never be satisfied. Give me something else, God. I need something else. No, you don't. You need Him. He said similarly the same thing in John 15, 5. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, apart from having the true bread from heaven, you'll never be satisfied. All the other breads in this world will break you. Only the true bread from heaven will be broken for you. Understand that? That's what Jesus is saying. And listen, when we understand that He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life, listen, everything comes back to the fact that it's all about Him. Oh, I love the blessings. Listen, and I pray for your blessings. I pray for prosperity. I believe God's going to raise up millionaires in this church. I believe all of it. I'm not saying that that's not part of my thought process, but I'm just simply saying if it doesn't happen, I don't care because I got God. You understand? How different would your life be today? How much peace would you truly have? How much rest and joy would you truly experience if you really come to the final, ultimate conclusion, God, you are enough. I appreciate this, but you are enough. God, I don't need anything. I don't need another substitute. I don't need something else. Again, back in verse 48, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the mammon in the wilderness and they died. Here these people, what is it trying to say? Wait a minute, Moses gave our people mammon from heaven. Jesus said, yeah, but they still died. You do understand, they still died. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I'm the living bread that come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for my life for the world is my flesh. You see, listen here. Let me explain it like this. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you have totally surrendered your life to Him, if you've committed your life and said, Lord, you're my leader, you're my Lord, I'm going to follow you. Listen, no matter what happens in this world, the worst thing that could happen to you is your only ultimate hell you'll ever know. The worst thing you could experience, the worst heartbreak, the worst sorrow that you ever experience, if you'll follow Jesus, it gets nothing but better after this world. You understand that? What He has in store for us, what is laid up in store for us, is far better than anything in this world could ever offer us. If you know Him, if you're following. But listen, here's the other side. If you don't know Him, if you're not following Him, if you haven't surrendered your life to Him, if you haven't repented of your sin, do you understand the best that could ever happen to you in this world, the best you could ever feel, you could ever experience, that's your ultimate heaven. Because it gets worse. You'll never know any more than the best what this world can give you apart from your relationship with God. Jesus said, I'm the true bread. And you eat me, myself, eat to take my flesh. If he's not talking about cannibalism here. I know my Catholic friends, you know, when they do the Eucharist, they teach that the Lord's Supper, you know, the bread turns into the literal flesh of Christ and the blood turns into the blood. Listen, that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's not talking about real bread. He's talking about, listen, every time you look at bread, I want you to remember, just like the bread, you need to live. Listen, you need me to live. You have to internalize me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. In other words, you have to stay connected to me. It's about Him. It's about our focus upon Him. It's about staying connected to Him. It isn't about anything else. It's just about understanding, God, I internalize you. Matter of fact, when you get to the end of this, John chapter 6, the Bible says some of the disciples said, wait a minute, Jesus, this is a hard saying. And the Bible says some of his disciples walked away, never to follow him no more. Why? Because Jesus said, listen, guys, it's more than a miracle you need. It's me. So here's the final, look at these last three words. What Jesus is bringing this down to, it's a meal, mammon, or me. See, this whole chapter starts with a miracle. Feeding 5,000, 15,000 women, children probably. It starts with a miracle, and then the people move from the miracle to the mammon. And they think what they need is a miracle or mammon. What they think they need is Jesus to do another miracle or, hey, just send down mammon from heaven like the forefathers did. And what Jesus said, no, you don't understand. It's not a miracle. It's not mammon. It's me. That makes sense? It's me. This is the missing piece that you've got going on in your life. Five times in this sermon, he affirmed that he come down from heaven. Five times, he affirmed that the Father had sent me. 10 different affirmations, Jesus points to the truth that he's the Son of God who come down from heaven, and he was sent by the Father. It's me that you need. It's me. Not a miracle. Oh, listen. Can we have miracles? Yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying beyond the miracle, beyond the mammon, Jesus saying, guys, listen, I'm right here. This is who you need. You need me in your life. Come on, Pastor Lindsay. Listen, so watch this. Here's our problem in our culture today. I kind of feel like sometimes I'm like a dad talking to my kids, and that's okay. I think I'm at the age and stage in life that some of you look at me like a father figure. Just don't tell me I'm old. I'm okay with saying I'm a father figure. Just don't tell me I'm old. But I kind of feel like sometimes as a father figure, I come to this pulpit sometime, and I have a bigger picture of what I see happening in our church and in our culture. And the bigger picture out of this story today says that we've got people that they just come to church because they need immediate relief. Pastor Phil, I just need some relief. It's like the hungry crowds. They just want a miracle. They want to feel good, and they want to walk away. We got a culture that way. Oh, my life's in a mess. Oh, my family's in a mess. Or my job, and we come to Jesus, and we want to meet a little. Now, listen, I'm okay with that being the starting place for every person. You understand that? I'm not saying that's not right, and you shouldn't feel that way. I'm saying God doesn't want us to stop there. Because the sad thing about it is, I know people that has come in this church and went out of this church. God gave them the miracle. God gave them immediate relief, only to walk out of these doors in a few days, in a few weeks, in a few months, they totally forgot about it. Until they want another miracle. So a lot of times we come and there's just immediate relief. And then sometimes if we're really kind of trying to move towards God, it moves us into a place where now we're after earthly comfort. So it isn't just about fixing my problem today. It's about, Pastor, how little can I do and be a Christian and I just feel comfortable where I'm at? I don't want to get too crazy with Jesus, you know? I don't want to get fanatical, but I won't be comfortable. I won't feel like I come to church and I know enough Christianese that I can talk the language and, you know, I can pray if somebody asks me and I know where a Bible verse ever, and I just feel comfortable in church. And I may understand that's a pretty good place to be. You come, you start with a need, and then you move out of that need and say, you know what, I'm comfortable. You know, Pastor Phil, he challenges me a little bit, but he doesn't push the needle too much. You know, he backs off. He kind of sees my face turning red sometimes, so he lets up. and we just want comfort. So here's the challenge. We have a world today that needs relief. And somehow or another, we've got to turn them away from the breads of this world that breaks them and lead them to the eternal bread from heaven that was willing to be broken for them. And out of that relief, we can put them into a place and lead them into a place where they feel comfortable in church. And we don't want things to be weird, and we don't want things to be too crazy, because we want people being comfortable in church. And I'm okay with that. But listen, if we stop there, we're missing the eternal purpose of eternal life. Eternal life is ultimately where God's trying to get all of us to. You understand that? And that is daily surrendering our life. When Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, listen, some of them said, wait a minute, Jesus, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And some of his disciples went away. And he looked at Simon Peter and said, Simon, what about you? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words to eternal life. You know how an old person has went from relief to comfort to eternal life? Is that when life gives them another bad deal, listen, they don't go back to the breads of this world. They say, wait a minute, God, where can I go? I can't go to another drug. I can't go back to alcohol. I can't go to this. The only place I can go is just come right back to you. You have the words to eternal life. That's where God wants us to be today. For you understand that? That's what he's leading us to. He's leading us past just getting relief. He's opening our eyes to say, wait a minute, God, everything I have flows down from you. God, I don't have anything that you haven't permitted me to enjoy. But God, I never want to get to the place where my gifts is more important than the giver. I never want to get to the place where I'm seeking his hand more than I'm after his presence. And we're going to believe for his hand. I'm totally for powers and miracles. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at some point, the American culture has to change. You know why revivals in the third world countries, the masses show up, miracles happen. But you know what the number one thing that they always talk about? Repentance and people turning their life, people walking away from the brokenness of the world they were in, leaving tribes, leaving voodoo, leaving all kind of stuff, and surrendering their total life to Jesus. Because that's the eternal life that God offers us. Amen? I know it's so easy sometimes to look at bread and try to think, my source is here, my source is there, my source. No, our source is only in Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Heartland Christian Center Sermon of the Week. If you would like to partner with us and give, please go to hcc.ag and click to give tab. Please like, follow, and share this podcast with others. Also, if you have a prayer request or want to contact Heartland, please email us at pastorphil@hcc3d.com. Have a blessed week.